The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to another day, another week of The Greg Hughes Show here on your number one local radio station, Highland Radio. It's Monday the 13th of April, 4:30 past nine. How are you keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. And what an eventful weekend it was. Thousands, tens of thousands of people protesting around the country over the escalating cost of fuel. You know, much of it is in our gift, you know, state by state. In other words, the government can do what they can do, whether you believe it's enough or not. But it's really external influences that are problematic. And Donald Trump, who seems to have completely lost the run of himself, he's having a go at the Pope now and created AI images of him as Jesus overnight, would you believe it? But he's also blockading the very Strait of Hormuz that he was wanting open. And that's going to seriously hinder oil supplies, which unfortunately, as we see with the cost of oil this morning, the raw material effectively up over $100 again. So as I say, whatever about our internal arguments and discussions, it's dealing with the external factors outside of our control, and that's what's causing all of these problems in the first place. We'll have some analysis of the government package. The sense I was getting from the feedback was that it didn't go far enough, and that people seem very disappointed that your carers, your hospital workers, your people going to school, that there wasn't enough in it for them. We'll seek some reaction from hauliers, maybe farmers, to see what they think. But unfortunately, again, with what's happening over in the Middle East, even the further reductions in petrol and diesel that the government's announced are likely to be swallowed up with increases that happened over the last two or three days. But as I say, we'll get on to that. Starting with a look at the newspapers and the Derry People Donegal News. This is a story we've been tracking closely for years as well. The deaths of two teenagers at a dangerous bend approaching St Johnstone less than 2 months ago has intensified demands for urgent safety measures ahead of a key council meeting today. Daniel Cullen and Kevin Porter McClune lost their lives in the collision on the notorious stretch of the R236 road in February 23rd. The two men were both aged 18 and from Derry. Their deaths have sent shockwaves through communities on both sides of the border and has brought renewed focus on the bend that locals say has had too many accidents. And I would say, and it's not to contradict the paper, it might have brought renewed political focus, but having spoken extensively to people from that area for a long, long time, their focus has never wavered, and people in that area know how dangerous it is. They warned that something was going to happen, and since that's happened, it's only by the grace of God that we haven't seen more fatal collisions, because there's been at least one whereby it very well could have been fatal. They know what the problem is. They have suggestions locally as to how to fix it. It just requires a will to do so. The Derry News this morning: the PSNI has confirmed that preparations for a policing response are underway following reports that a fuel cost protest is set to take place in the Derry area today. Social media posts advertising a fuel protest in the Derry area this morning have been circulating online in recent days. Although it's not known who's responsible for organising the planned event, digital posters suggest that the protest will be massive. According to the poster, the demonstration will start at Grey Steel Vale Centre at 8 a.m. and will move towards Colmore Roundabout in Derry. If you've been in and around that area, or maybe you're on that protest, let us know what the turnout was like. Did it go ahead, etc.? The Irish Independent, they frame yesterday's announcement by government as a cave-in. Coalition caves with a €505 million bid to buy off fuel blockade protesters. And I'll read on. The coalition has presented a mammoth €505 million package of supports as it caved to the fuel protesters' demands following days of blockades and dwindling fuel supplies. The €500 million bid to buy off the cost of living activists was announced yesterday evening by Taoiseach Micheál Martin, just hours after a number of blockades around the country were ended. The excise cuts announced will bring the cost of petrol and diesel down by 10 cent at the pumps from tomorrow midnight. In a surprise move, the planned increase in the carbon tax will now be postponed until October as part of a package aimed at placating protesters who brought the country to a near standstill last week. the carbon tax deferral, and I'm going to focus on home heating oil for a moment, the carbon tax deferral is until October. So if we don't see any major decrease in the cost of home heating oil, and the government hasn't done a great deal to bring that down, we're actually going to be faced with an increased cost of home heating oil heading into the months where we'll be using it most. I'm not trying to pick holes in the announcement. I'm just saying that it could be a very cold winter. Mr. Martin admitted the upcoming budget will run a smaller surplus as a result of the package, which has been criticised by the opposition for failing to address wider cost of living challenges. And I would love it to be explained to me, and I mean this genuinely, because we did see, say, for instance, huge multi-billion euro taxes come in last year that the government had hadn't accounted for. And we covered it at the time. You know, I think, was it 12 billion over the year? So this is me being really ignorant. And I, as I say, if it was explained to me, I'd understand it better. So if we got 12 billion euro in additional tax last year that we hadn't necessarily budgeted for, how could then spending 505 million this year, a huge amount of money, but then how could that mean that we could end up with fewer tax cuts or less measures that the government could introduce at budget time? So let's say it's 12 million. Where's the 11.5 billion euro gone effectively? That it wasn't expected and it kind of vanishes. It vanishes, and the spend of 505 million means that the economy is in bother come budget time. Again, I'm not being smart. I'm not having a pop. I just don't really understand the economics of it all. Right, so do you want me to run through some of the measures that were introduced? So excise duty reductions effective from midnight Tuesday, April 14th. Petrol reduced by additional 10 cents per litre. And diesel reduced by an additional 10 cent per litre. So if two petrol stations that I pass on the way to work, one of them was 204 on Friday morning, then it was 209, and I believe now it's 214, or maybe it's a bit higher, or is it 219? Anyway, the difference between Friday and today is 15 cent at that one fuel station. 15 cent up. So effectively that 10 cent means that the fuel will have increased 5 cents since Friday. I'm not sure what else the government can do, but the reality is that that's why people aren't necessarily jumping for joy, because you're seeing the price go 204, 209, you know, 214, and then 10 cent comes off and it goes down to 204 again. And that's not counting for what might happen increases wise into the future. As I mentioned, the carbon tax increase originally set for May 1st has been postponed until budget day in October. So this prevents a scheduled hike in home heating oil, gas and solid fuels. But again, we will see that increase then, won't we? Just as we're heading into the window of requiring our heat more. So for the regular people, I've announced those savings. Hauliers and coach operators, 40 million support scheme triggered if diesel exceeds 190 per litre, which it has. Farmers and contractors, 100 million euro subsidy providing approximately 20 cent per litre cut for green diesel. Forestry and fishermen access to a 5 million euro monthly targeted support pool. And there's an expansion of the fuel allowance to 50,000 extra households. So we'll see. And obviously those in business looking to those in business looking to recoup the money, they'll have to qualify for direct subsidies. They must be tax compliant and provide verified fuel usage data from the previous year. So hopefully you have that to hand. Yes, so international matters obviously are going to influence the costs here. And coming from the Daily Mail, Donald Trump threw the world into chaos yesterday by announcing that America would blockade any and all ships attempting to use the Strait of Hormuz. The US president said he was going to clean out the vital waterway through which 20% of the world's oil and gas passes, but he failed to explain how or when it would become operational. It came as UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer stressed the need to work with a wide coalition of partners to protect freedom of navigation in the Strait as he spoke to French President Emmanuel Macron last night. Mr. Trump wrote on social media, any Iranian who fires at us or at peaceful vessels will be blown to hell. He said the US would finish up the little that is left of Iran. Well, we shall see. I think there's plenty left of Iran. But the bottom line is it doesn't matter what Donald Trump does. Insurance companies will call the shots. They will say whether or not a ship can pass through that strait, because they're the ones that could be on the hook if a drone hits it and destroys the vessel. And I don't think insurance companies, regardless of what Donald Trump says, are prepared to underwrite that risk at this time. So, again, maybe Trump doesn't understand that. Big changes politically in Europe. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, he conceded defeat last night after what he called a painful election result, ending his 16 years in power. The Americans were very keen to see him remain in place, and you will have seen J.D. Vance over there, which I don't think worked in his favour, trying to get him re-elected. Well, partial official results showed opposition leader Peter Magyar's Tisza party dominated the vote in a bombshell election result, with repercussions around the world. So they were very, Orban was very Russian friendly, and he had been a thorn in the side of Europe, blocking a 90 billion euro loan to the Ukraine. And as I say, being sort of seen as a Russian adjacent member of the EU. The other guy, the other party taking over, they want the European money, and they're going to play the game, the European game to that extent as well. Ryan says, you never understand anything, Greg. Well, Ryan, explain to me, please, if you can, because I'm on being honest and sitting here being honest. If we make 10, 11, 12 billion euro in corporation tax extra that we didn't know, how can spending 505 million early this year leave us with problems come budget October? Where's the 11.5 million gone, billion gone? If you explain that to me, then I won't have to ask. Thanks, though, buddy. And where do complaints go? The most complaints, well, Air is breathing a sigh of relief because Ryanair has topped the table of most consumer complaints. Ryanair was the most complained about company in Ireland last year, and Rathwood, the home and garden retailer, attracted almost as many contacts to Ireland's consumer watchdog, a report out today said. Now, I don't know where Rathwood is located, but obviously obviously, they've got over 400 complaints, whatever's going on. Curry, Sky and our old friend Air made up the rest of the top five complained about companies to the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission helpline. So there you go. Now, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, Senator Niall Blaney is always prepared to face the public, and we're delighted to have him on the programme this morning. Good morning to you, Senator. That sounded like a bad intro, but it was there was no malintent.
No problem. I'll take it, Greg. Good morning.
Right. So, firstly, do you understand and have any sympathy for those that have spent the last week protesting over these escalating fuel prices?
I do, of course, Greg. I think everybody's feeling the squeeze at the moment since this war in Iran, and Iran has taken off and kicked off, and I suppose we don't know where that's going to end. The peace talks aren't going as well as you would like to see them go. And I suppose if we look back at last week within the island of Ireland, I think there was something else going on below the surface in relation to the protests that I think blindsided the government somewhat, and let's put it this way, I think we got off to a bad start last week, if I'm being honest. And I think there's a reality to what happened last week in that there are national organisations that represent the hauliers, the contractors, the agricultural bodies. And there were some actors there, let's say they have their own past, they're actually undermining that. And that's leads to undermining of democracy. And I think the government maybe spent too much time looking at that rather than realising what was happening on the ground. The first number of days last week left a lot of parliamentary party members, and certainly in my party, I'm sure, Fine Gael in the same boat, left them in a very difficult situation because they realised from talking to normal people on the ground the difficulties here. And there was We all have our own WhatsApp groups and correspondence with our ministers, etc. And there was harsh words, tough conversations had from probably Wednesday on, Greg, in relation to all of this. And
so are you saying the government was coming under pressure?
I absolutely realised the difficulty people are feeling at the moment. It's not easy. All this extra cost and fuel is upping the cost of living. It's a difficult time for everybody.
So you're saying quite a lot of pressure on government was coming from within, as well as obviously observing what was happening on the streets?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's just focus on home heating oil for an example. You know, many of your constituency, a lot of people, 800,000 of us effectively use home heating oil. The idea was really not to do an awful lot with that, to defer carbon tax increases, but that just leaves us potentially facing a winter of discontent if things continue bad throughout the summer. You know, do you think the government missed a mark there in trying to do something to help the 800,000 people, many of them older people? And I've spoken to genuine, real, normal people, in inverted commas, Niall, who are sitting with empty kerosene tanks because they simply can't afford to fill them. So was that a missed opportunity that the government didn't recognise, you know, close on a million people rely on this product?
Well, I think the first measures taken 3 weeks ago were targeted more at those more vulnerable, Greg. That's not to say we shouldn't have done more this time. I think it's the one element that's been left out here that we maybe have to maybe revisit. We'll have to see how negotiations go within the parliamentary party, etc., over the next week or two. And the other side of all this, maybe we might get into some of the detail of what has been announced in a bit. The other side of all this is that we don't know where this Iranian war is going to end. What's going to happen? Was the Strait of Hormuz, if it's going to open or not? It's looking quite dodgy at the moment. So how long does this war go on? What more measures do we need to bring in the future? And how much can we afford? You know, if you go back to 2011, all the story was about the bad decisions taken. It was our fault that what happened to the economy. We live in an open economy, Greg, and when there's a flu in the world, we get a real bad one. Mm. And we are always going to depend on that open economy because that's how we do so well. But that's why we have money now.
Does that not make it all the more important to ensure that we support people and support businesses now? As I said, you know, we heard from this, and it's a significant package, 505 million, but we heard a warning from the Taoiseach that this will impact the latitude they will have come budget time, right? And I was saying just in the intro to the programme, you know, we've got billions upon billions upon billions of corporation tax that was brought in last year that we hadn't even accounted for. And it's very hard in my mind to square the circle of having, you know, 12-odd billion in excess tax, and then all of a sudden 505 million leaves us scraping, you know, the barrel come budget time. Can you explain that to me as a legislator?
Well, I don't think there's anything not accounted for. First off, Greg, I think it's all accounted for. The second thing is the idea of putting money aside was for a rainy day. So, you know, depending how this evolves, and this is an evolving situation, there may have to be more packages and we may have to look at the rainy day fund. But if we just even take a bit of time so people understand what was in it, Greg, and people see this as for hauliers and for agricultural contractors and farmers and fishers. The hauliers actually... their prices increasing so significantly has knock-on impact for everything we buy, whether it be diesel, whether it be what to buy in the shops, etc. So all this should have a sustainable effect for the moment in relation to holding our grocery prices as they are, albeit they are inflated. I suppose in relation to diesel and petrol, diesel is down 32 cents. As of 3 weeks ago, up, and including last night's petrol, 27 cent. Green diesel is down 7.4 cent, but there will be a new scheme that's been worked on the Minister of the Department of Agriculture, where it'll be direct payments to farmers, our farm contractors and farmers, and that's a €100 million package. But the result of that will be taking green diesel down to the equivalent of by another 20 cent. And that will have a good impact. And that's out to July, but backdated to March. The hauliers will have their own new transport scheme. Payments, direct payments, based on the number of vehicles they have. Smaller operators will receive proportionally higher support. And I suppose that is this is an evolving situation, Greg. And that is the supports outlined for the moment.
And I get to just in relation to your carers, your people on the school run and all that type of stuff, like petrol and diesel went up in excess of 10 cent over the weekend. I know there's external factors here and the government only has a certain amount of control of it, but could they not have increased some sort of a cap and looked at some of the taxes on it that they had latitude to adjust? So in other words, to get the country moving, to get life livable for regular folk as well, as important as farmers and fishermen and hauliers and bus drivers and bus operators are.
Well, I spoke the weekend to a guy that drives for a haulier company from Donegal here, and he's driving international all the time, and he's right across Europe every week. This week, Holland was between 273 and 284 per litre. He says we're by far the lowest in Europe from what he can see at the moment. So while things are tight, we actually have some of the best proposals on the table here in Europe, Greg. That said, Michael McGrath is, as of last week, working with the Commission in Europe to try and alleviate in relation to the excise duty lifted by government.
Okay.
Looking for compromise there. And it's the one area now where we can reduce it further. And I suppose the reason that those payments, right, payments are being made is because of restrictions of what we can do with European law.
Right, okay. Listen, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it, Senator Niall Blaney. Good morning, Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning to you, Greg, and to your listeners.
Before we break down the package and what you think of it, just your comments in relation to comments made by Micheál Martin. He said that your support for the blockading of critical infrastructure like the White Gate oil refinery meant that your party would not be fit for government. Do you support the protesters? Did you support them in the blockading of critical infrastructure specifically? And then we can talk about the broader support you had for protesters generally.
Well, thanks, Greg. And I think it would be far more fitting for the Taoiseach if he actually listened to people, understood people, and understood why ordinary, decent Irish people, mums and dads, farmers, hauliers, bus operators, small business people, were in their masses on the streets and their masses protesting last week. And indeed, many of them, Greg, because I was, to answer your question, I was on these protests. I was in Donegal, I was in Sligo, I was in Lahey, I was in Glenties, I was in Cavan, I was around at these protests. I was talking to people and listening to people. And they told me very clearly, a lot of them, that they were there because of Micheál Martin, because of the government's insults to them, the government's demeaning of them, the government's threatening the Irish army against Irish protesters, and the government's refusal to do the sensible thing, which was to sit down, talk, understand, and crucially to act. So, like, that's very clearly where I was. The other thing that was very clear, Greg, is that nobody wanted to be there. Nobody wanted to, you know, leave their farm. Like, it's lambing season. Like, people are busy here. Nobody wanted to, you know, be out and not have their buses operating. Hauliers wanted to be trying to make a few pounds, but they knew that this was make or break for them. And they knew that they, in the face of a government that was unwilling to act, unwilling to listen, then they took this unprecedented step. And that's really the question here. How did a government allow this to get to the situation it is? And how do we still have a government that refuses to listen and understands and comes forward with a package of measures yesterday that still will not make fuel affordable? Their second opportunity to right their wrongs, and they still fail to do so. So that's the real question.
Yeah,
right,
it is. And I understand that, and I want to move on. But did you support the blockading of critical infrastructure you know,
we made it clear from day one that we wanted these protests to end, Greg, and we made it clear also how you could end these protests.
Yeah, I understand.
Just let me say this here again. So how could you end these protests? You end the protests first of all by engaging.
Yeah, I know, and I want to talk.
I want to talk through all of that with you.
It's just that specific question I would like an answer.
No, and I'll be very clear. We wanted these protests to end from straight away. We wanted the protests to end, but we also understood that they had to end with action from government. So we asked Micheál Martin, Mary Lou wrote to Micheál Martin last week saying, recall the Dáil on Tuesday, do the right thing. And there is solutions here that we have put forward over a month ago in our emergency legislation that would make fuel affordable. And that's what should have happened. And I can tell you, and I can guarantee you, that there would have been nobody out on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday if they actually listened to us and listened to the protesters and actually did the necessary steps that were required.
And we'll see, I'll ask what your party would have done, and we'll talk about the vote of no confidence, but I'm going to put the same question to you that I put to Senator Niall Blaney, who was on just before the break. The best figure I can find is that we had an additional 13 billion euro in corporation tax last year. You're a finance spokesperson, you can correct me if I'm right or wrong, effectively that was not necessarily expected. So where is that money? Because if 505 million euro potentially has an impact in October's budget, it's a very stupid, simple question, but where is the other 11.5 billion euro gone? I genuinely can't square that circle in my head.
Yeah, listen, look, it's a false argument that's coming from government that if we do this, we'll have to, you know, maybe take it from somewhere else. As you said, there was 12.5 billion euro of a surplus last year. When the finance minister stood up in the middle of October to announce the budget, they expected the department, they published this, they expected the surplus to be 10 billion. Between middle of October and end of December, they took in another 2.5 billion euro extra. So the money's there.
But where is that money, though? Where is that money?
The money's there in the state coffers. Like the NTMA hold cash reserves for the state. There's billions of euro there. We are going to make a surplus this year again. If everything goes according to plan, of billions of euro, not millions of euro, but of billions of euro. And this is a time of crisis. And at a time of crisis, you stand up and you act for the Irish people.
Right. So
this isn't huge amount of money that has to be spent in the context of things.
No, you've addressed that too. And of course, we are putting away significant funds for the rainy day. But we have to wonder what kind of a country we'll have come 2040 if we don't shore things up now. So what people want to know is, you know, what would, if Sinn Féin were in power, what would a price of 500 litres of home heating oil be? What would a litre of diesel cost? What would a litre of petrol cost? Because that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Look, we understand that some of this, all of this, has really been driven by the American and Israeli evasion of our attacks in Iran and the retaliatory measures. We understand all that. We understand global factors, but we also understand that an Irish government has to act. So therefore, what can they do? The emergency legislation, Greg, that I brought forward would have at the time reduced the cost of diesel to about 1.90. That's what I think.
Well, where would that be now?
It would be the same. It would be.
So we've been capped at 1.90.
We would argue, so what we're arguing is that the government need to reduce the cost of diesel by 25 cent and they need to reduce the cost of petrol by 25 cent. We can also explain how you can do that. You can actually do it by giving the hauliers the rebate at the pump, and that allows you to actually cut diesel by the additional 15 cent for everybody out there, for people who are really, really pressed.
Yeah, but the government did cut the petrol and diesel 10 cent, but petrol and diesel has increased by more than 10 cent at many service stations between Friday. So since Friday, so how do we not know that the measures that you're suggesting would also be just gobbled up by retail increases?
Well, we can see every day, and I monitor this every day, the price of the oil of the barrel of oil, and you can also look at what the wholesale price is. So all of this was spelled out in our legislation, because what we argued is that this would be reviewed on a weekly basis with further supports, or indeed if things change, we would actually to taper off the supports. That's the type of responsible action, because we don't know what's going to happen.
As best as you can estimate, if your legislation was passed and introduced and invoked, what would the price of a litre of diesel or petrol be today?
1.90. 190 the price. If they take what Sinn Féin is saying at the minute, it would be 190. It'd still be higher than where it was before the invasion and the attacks in Iran. There's no doubt about that. It would be still about 10 cents, maybe a bit more higher. But they would. That's the price.
But
it would
what
be.
Would you do then?
Would
if, be no, what would you do?
And then it's not finishing that. Can, yeah. Just to make the point.
No, of course you can. Yeah.
Because you asked the question, we would get rid of the carbon tax in home heating oil. So there would be no carbon tax in home heating oil. We would take it right down to the minimum. We do not need European approval to do that. And we would also mark gas oil, which is green diesel, which farmers and contractors and building sites use. We would also reduce the excise and the carbon tax in relation to that, reducing it by about 20 cents. That is the type of leadership and that is the action that people right across the board are saying to me that they need. And on top of that, Greg, we know that it's not just about fuel. A lot of this is about a culmination of a cost of living crisis, about energy costs. You know, I'm just after seeing it on my phone pop up, the bill for next month. Like the cost of electricity is through the roof in this country. Groceries, rents, insurance, and the government, instead of supporting people, what did they do last winter? They actually withdrew the support. So there has to also be energy credits. That's when we talk about that there needs to be a wider cost of living package to support people at this time of crisis.
The vote of no confidence, that's going ahead, of course, but we know what the numbers are. So what's the point?
Well, the point is that I'm hearing, and protesters have heard from, in fairness, some of the backbenchers in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, some of the independents, telling them that they are disgusted with the government, that they are not happy with how the government's handled it, that they support the idea of reducing fuel price pumps. And now is the time for them to be stand up and to be counted. It is really going to be a question of, are you going to back the Irish people or are you going to back a government that is refusing to make fuel prices affordable, that has exasperated the situation over the last week, that has threatened the Irish army on Irish protesters, on decent people right across the state that were pushed to the pin of the collar and had to take a stand to force the government into even the half measures that they've put forward. So it's a very, very simple question for people, and everybody's going to have to answer that question. I see people saying that they're going up to their parliamentary party meetings to relay the views of the public. The views of the public, in my view, Greg, are very, very simple. But they have no confidence in this government.
Yeah, we don't know how long this is going to go on for. We really don't know because effectively, I think there's very few people would disagree now. It's a madman, really, that's in control of all of this. He's blocking the strait, which he forced to close. Whilst seeking to have it opened. Crazy stuff, right? We don't know where oil's going to go. 102 this morning could go up to 140, 150. We actually don't even know how long this is going to last. The Irish government has done more for its people, you could argue, than many, many other European countries. Are you really being irresponsible potentially with the public's finances in what you're proposing? Is this is an open-ended, this is an open-ended problem, and maybe this is a norm that we're going to have to get used to in war times.
Greg, not at all. We've gone through, and I don't want to go through it again, the fact that there's surpluses here in the state where this isn't about borrowing money. Other countries will have to borrow money to support their citizens. And that's the right thing to do, actually, in time of crisis. We're in a situation where we don't have to borrow money. We have money that is coming in that we do not use. That is what surpluses are. And they're billions of euro. Like the measures that I mentioned to you there today, Greg, about, you know, reducing the price of diesel to 190, reducing petrol further, getting rid of the carbon tax and excise duty on green diesel and home heating oil, that costs an extra 70 million euro a month. This isn't going to break the bank here, folks. Like, this is about making sure that your priorities are right and you're supporting and backing the Irish people at this point in time. So, of course, we don't know when this is going to end. And that's what's really worrying people. I was talking to a fisherman out there, Greg. He's out fishing and he's got a crew in his boat. He buys diesel on a fortnightly basis, right? His diesel has increased by 10,000 euro. His boat is tied up and the crew are unemployed. That's what's happening out there. There's farmers there. I was talking to a farmer there who made a father and son last night. They phoned me very late last night and they were chatting in the shed and they were saying they can't even take a wage out of the farm at the minute. They just don't know where the future is. So we have a real, real crisis on
our
hands.
Just to be clear then, so I'm 100% clear. Under your proposals, diesel would be 190 and would stay at 190.
Diesel would be reduced by 25 cents. And then there's other options. So what's diesel at the minute, Greg? About 215. So,
219, you know, I can see almost.
219 in some places, yeah. 219 in some places. And there's further, so you can do the measures that I've said at the minute, which would reduce it by 25 cents. And then there's further measures that the government can take if they need to if the price goes up higher, to actually reduce the price.
I'm not sure that goes
lower.
Far enough for a carer I was talking to last week who at 204 was paying an extra 50 quid a week in diesel whilst taking, as they said, less than 300 euro a week home for a family with an empty oil tank. I don't think, you know, diesel at around 2 euro or even 1.95 is actually enough.
Well, the diesel, as I said, it would be about 190 in relation to the price and that. And if you mentioned 204, so if prices at the pumps were 204, then our price would bring it down to 180. Mm-hmm. But the key thing in terms of our legislation, Greg, is we actually have it that it has to be reviewed every week. So if the price in the pumps actually start to increase because of what's happening internationally, then there is other measures that the government can take. So, for example, Spain cut VAT on diesel and petrol, that would reduce it by another 17 cents. So there is options there, there if the political will is there.
You see, the thing,
that's what's required here.
What I don't understand is if you put that money, even if it was more than the figures you're quoting, to keep the country moving, to keep those with money spending and to keep farmers going, you know, you claw a lot of that back, right, with VAT and tax and everything else, whereas if everything slows down, you'd lose more than you would have spent to keep things going. But again,
you're 100% right. It's inaction is going to cost us serious. Like I was talking to again down at one of the protests. He's a contractor. He's got machines. He digs. He's working on roads contracts, and they're saying they're tying up next week because like they can't. They've signed into contracts that they are now losing a fortune on, and nobody expects anybody to work for free, and nobody definitely expects anybody to go to work to actually incur a loss. So all of this has a ripple effect, and the cost of inaction is absolutely huge. But the core point here is this: we can get rid of carbon tax on home heat. Now we can get rid of carbon tax on green diesel. We can slash the cost of petrol and diesel by another 25 cents. We can go further if it is necessary, and we can bring in a cost of living package, the likes of energy credits that we've argued, 450 euro for every household across the state, a cost of disability package to support those that are most in need at this time of serious pressures. That's the type of leadership, that's the type of action we need, but we're not getting that. And that's why a motion of no confidence is going to be forced on the Dáil this week. And we are putting it up to people. And I'm saying to TDs and I'm saying to people out there who are on the protest, you need to be lifting the phone to your government backbenchers and you need to be asking them that this is the time. I've not seen this. I've never seen this in my political life. What we've seen over this week, ordinary people taking the street and saying, we can't take any more. So it is time now for TDs, who are the messengers of the people, to actually not just carry a message, but actually act on behalf of the Irish people this week.
We'll see. All right. Thank you very much indeed. Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty. Now, Deirdre Bradley is owner of Deirdre's at the Diamond in Carndonagh. And you've chosen, Deirdre, to close today.
Good morning, Greg.
Good morning,
thank you
Deirdre.
Very much for having us on. I just felt it was a necessary decision. People have given up 6 days out protesting, and the least we could do is show our support. And it's a necessary decision because I feel personally, if things don't change, then we could be very much closed permanently.
In other words, things get so tight in the wider community that the ability to spend, the ability to go into Deirdre's and the Diamond, that sounds like a recession.
Yeah, it's diminishing week on week. We've been seeing it for a long time. It's been happening now, just the cost of living. Electricity has almost doubled. I'm a very small business in a local community. I feel that, you know, there's so many of us and we are an important cog in any community because that's where people come in. They come in to socialise, they come in. But we're not as fortunate as the government. We don't have pots of money for the rainy days. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's been raining now since last October. And everything is just getting tighter. Margins are getting tighter. Delivery charges are, you know, the boxes being delivered are getting more expensive. Everything has gone up and up and up, but our footfall coming through the doors is going down and down and down.
Yeah, that's a big problem. All right, Deirdre, thank you for that. Barry's owner of Bulkrete. It's a concrete business. Barry, thanks for joining me.
All right, Greg, how's it going?
I'm good. Your business is particularly affected by global and national events, and you've opted to shut down for today.
Yeah, just made a decision last night. We just with everything that's going on, we want the Irish people to come together, and we just decided that enough's enough. We're getting every January, April. We have another one coming in May with the raw materials going up, and like it all boils down to diesel, and it's just. And it all at the end user has to pay the money, and it's all Irish people. So,
have you been able to have a look at this government package and to see would it be of any benefit to your business, Barry?
It's not really. Like we use the hauliers hauliers bring in the stuff to us, and they take it out to the end user, and it's a small package to them. I was talking to a few lads last night when they knew we closed up, and like it's a package for them, but it's not there, as they say, it's not going to solve the problem here. So it's not good in my end for my business.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, it's going to come back down to the Irish people to pay for all this.
Yeah. All right, Barry, listen, thank you very much for your time. We spoke last week to Mark Hegarty, I think you corrected me, Mark. You didn't necessarily organise, but you strongly supported some of the protests that we saw in Donegal recently and down the country as well, of course. Hello,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Greg. I jumped on board on that. You hear me there, Greg?
Yeah, there's just a slight delay, Mark. So, I mean, reading the papers today, looking at some of the news coverage, it's all seemingly done and dusted. But that's not the reality, is it? We heard from Karen Donagh. We heard from Barry there, and we're hearing all over the country, not least in Donegal, that people aren't happy with this package and there's still protests ongoing.
No, Greg, that's right. The package that's out there is going to be no good. It never was going to be any good. And I'll tell you a few reasons why, Greg, because the government has never... They said that they can't help everybody. There's one reason they're not going to help everybody, because they want the divide. They want to keep the divide in the people, right? It's not that they can't afford it. They can afford it, but if they help everybody, then everybody is unite. You know what I mean? Whereas if you keep a divide in the people, then they have more support themselves. You know what I mean? So that's the way they set this up. It was always going to be about that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they couldn't even respect the Irish people. You know what I mean? It's the way they treated the Irish people. It's the way Simon Harris spoke about the Irish people and the protesters and stuff was wrong. You know what I mean? This government is always about divide. It was always about divide, and when they started COVID, it was always about divide when they done the immigration system. Nothing against the people that's coming into this country, Greg. It's about the system. You know what I mean? People's calling on this, and it's not the people themselves. Of course, the people's going to come because the government give a big package. You know what I mean? But that created another divide on the people. You know what I mean? It's all about dividing the people and keeping them divided, Greg. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So just in relation...
You were talking about the protest, Greg.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, there are protests now. I see a poster for a protest this evening at 7 p.m. It's getting hard to track. Not everyone's entitled to protest, but it's getting hard to track, you know, who's involved in what or what's being organised where.
This is the big problem with the protests, Greg. No disrespect to anybody that's trying to do the small protests and stuff, but the small protest isn't going to be effective enough. You know what I mean? Mm. Fair play, yes, let's try and get them done, but it needs to be big. The message needs to be big, right? Like, you see people putting up posters and stuff, we're going to meet here and stuff there. I don't think the posters is effective enough. Like, I know people doesn't like putting their face out there and putting their voice out there. I hate it myself personally, but I just felt that I had to do it. If you look at the big protests, men's putting their face out there, they're putting their videos out there. A voice is what you need. Like, if you're going to organise a protest, like, what they'd be better doing is everybody that's thinking about organising a small protest, put all your heads together and let's make it big. You know what I mean? Get your voices out there. I know you don't want to do it, but just do it and just make it massive. You know what I mean? That's what needs to be done, Greg.
I think really in terms of the movement, if they're very ad hoc and all over the place and start causing disruption and people don't necessarily know, it could end up to turning the public against, some of the public against the movement, if I can put it to you like that.
That's one of the points I was making. That's a few points that I was making, Greg. That you need to be thinking on all this kind of stuff. Like, do not divide the people. Like, there's no point disrupting any local businesses around our own area, because that is not fair. Our local businesses are suffering the most here. When you're organising protests, try and think about all that. Like, we can't bring this county to a standstill, because there's too much vital stuff has to move. Like there's people has to get to work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for instance, my own partner is working in a care home. Like, them people has to move about. Like, they just can't disown the people in them care homes, hospitals, you name it. Them people has to move about. So, like, when you're blocking stuff, thinking all the things that needs to move. And another thing, Greg, was a few oil companies had rang me about stuff there. They're feared to come to protest and stuff because of what's happening down the country and oil refineries and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, people, just think to yourselves about the people that's in them lorries. Them people is ordinary, decent men. We need fuel to move about to pay protests. So try and bring them people together with you, you know what I mean? Respect them, you know what I mean, as best you can. I know people's frustrated and everybody's getting mixed up. Same with guards and stuff. Try and respect them. You know, I see what's going on down the country and I know why people's getting frustrated at them, but the local guards couldn't be more helpful to me on the protest in Letterkenny on Saturday. So please just try and...
It's
hard to get the message out there to everybody.
I do know what you're saying, and it's not just about protesting. It's how you protest and what your motivation for the protesting is. Some people could end up dragging the whole movement down, and it's already started to some extent. All right, I understand where you're coming from, Mark, and I appreciate your commentary. That's Mark Hegarty there on those fuel protests. A caller says, there's not much point in dropping the price of fuel by 10 cents if all the petrol stations increase their prices beforehand. We'll see no difference, which is a point I was making with Deputy Doherty. Boycotting any politician associated with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, says a listener, would send a clear message. Another one came in here, not really quite sure what this is about. Greg, a group of us at work was saying this morning, we hope you will not be bringing the Garda on to talk this week. After all they've done to their people over the weekend, after 24 years listening to Highland Radio, we says we'd all change to a different station if that happened. Well, I presume you're on about the Community Garda slot. Look, the Garda are people's friends, families, nephews, nieces. They've been put in a difficult situation, no more so than I don't think anyone would like the protesters to be all judged by one or two people, or people that you might not like, or people that I heard, you know, some genuine protesters in inverted commas criticising those that were joining it for different reasons. No more than you would, I suppose, criticise an entire force because of the actions of some that you didn't like. What do they do in that situation? I don't know. But I take your point, and It's not for us to get involved in that type of thing. We're here to sort of platform people's voices and opinions, not to protest. That's not how radio stations are governed or licensed. Right, so we've been getting various reactions from different groupings. Inshore fishermen, they're at the pin of their collar. The cost of doing their business and the margins can be pretty tight, and it can be pretty seasonal, and it can be pretty hit and miss, but their input costs, i.e. fuel, etc., have gone through the roof. John Minari is an inshore fisherman. John, looking at what the government had to say there, I didn't see any specifics for inshore fishermen, just a package of some description or other. What is the reaction amongst you and your colleagues?
Well, at the minute, Greg, we can't have a reaction because, as usual, we have the only details we have that the so-called package, there will be up to $5 million for fishing, forestry, horticulture and others. Mm-hmm. And also in the small print, it will be subject to EU aid. So at the minute, there is no package for inshore fishermen. We got a call. I got a call. I was at the top of O'Connell Street on Friday night. I got a call from our secretary saying that Minister Dooley was requesting a briefing meeting with us the next morning in Agriculture House at 11 o'clock. After us previously being told by him that morning that he wasn't meeting with us, that he met with us previously and they understood our issues and didn't need to meet with us again. But then we were told we were going to have a briefing meeting about the meetings that took place during the day on Friday. And basically we went to the meeting. Everybody, it was like a therapy session. We all told our woes again that we told the minister previously. Halfway through the meeting, the minister stepped out and those online were left talking to the minister's secretary. The minister wasn't even in the room. And at the very end of the meeting, a meeting that we were told was a briefing meeting, I asked the minister directly, was there any updates or any information from the previous day's meetings? And he straight out, no. And I thanked him for his honesty. So if we were brought to a briefing meeting that didn't brief us with any details, now we have a package that we have no details again. And even more worryingly, we received an email late last night saying that the minister will be meeting with us shortly when the details have been finalised and relative sanctions are put in place, which is a very worrying use of language.
What do you think that means? Least. What do you think it means, if you can figure it out?
Well, I could read you the dictionary definition of sanctions, but there's nothing positive in it. So
yeah, I get you.
Is it a case of those that protested will be excluded and those that respond positively on social media and other places to anything the minister does or doesn't even do will be rewarded? We have to wait and see. But it's very worrying when you have a support package supposed to come out to help you and then you have language like sanctions have to be put in place first before we find the details of it. So
yeah,
we live in interesting times, to say the least.
We certainly do, and you know, like, there's a lot. There was a lot in there. There's a lot of money in there. But when people are left behind, especially, you know, an industry that's already on its knees, it is concerning. We'll stay in touch with you, John. We'll track it closely. Thank you, though, for giving us your update. Not good news, it would seem, for inshore fishermen, and an interesting use of language. Let's go to Lynn. Hi, Lynn. Lynn, are you there? Lynn?
Yes, I'm here. Yes?
I can. I just had you up the wrong line up. Lynn, I can hear you loud and clear now. It's Greg here. So,
okay.
What is your view on where we're at?
My view is no vote of confidence in this government right away. I think we've made the message, gave them the message, and meetings don't work. We need action. We need the people now. The people have been out protesting. The government know what's needed. Instead of giving money to other countries, put it back into Ireland. We're all in the EU, Greg. The EU diesel oil prices are all €1 cheaper than ours is.
Oh, well, that's
you
not...
You can check it out.
Yeah, I can. And that...
1.19.
Yeah, okay. Where's that?
Well, I got a picture yesterday. 1.19 in Spain, and we're 2.20. I got a picture for a petrol station yesterday, unless it's not right, but they're still a good bit cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're all in the EU, give us EU prices. Our kids have to get to school on buses, right? And tax, if they're going to tax anything, tax the luxury goods, not the essentials that people need every day to keep living.
Yeah. What is the alternative, though? I was listening to Piers Doherty a little earlier on, and their party's plan was to knock 25 cent off it. Now, that would leave petrol, that would leave diesel in some forecourt still hovering around the €2 mark. So for some people, even what the main opposition is proposing is not enough. So you get rid of the government. To what extent? What does that achieve?
It doesn't achieve anything. Again, they're giving us crumbs off the table, Greg. Bring the diesel down. The government doesn't need to get any tax of diesel.
Yeah.
We need diesel to get to where we want to go. Everybody does. If you're going to work, take all government taxes off. That's what I'm saying. Put their taxes on to luxury goods and things like that. Okay.
The petrol price, the average petrol price in Spain at the moment is 155 and diesel is 181, which I think people in this country would take, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Still one of the lowest is Ukraine, 144 for petrol, 177 for diesel. Right, okay, so you just think that we need to actually, we need to completely look at where the government derives money from. Like, in other words, it's not just necessarily about fiddling. Okay, right. Okay.
Everything. Not when we're in this mood now, keep going. Mm. People power at the end of the day, Greg, but the government, our government at this minute is not doing the people who voted them in justice. Mm. We need action. No more meetings. A meeting today, and 2 weeks you get an answer, then another meeting if it's not right. That could go on for 6 months, as you know, and we need action now, mm-hmm. not in 6 months' time. We need a complete, if we need another election, get it done. Get up, people up there who are looking after the people in Ireland. Not send the money to other countries. Ireland needs the money as much now as other countries do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our taxes is too high, Greg.
All right, Lynn, thank you very much.
We need to heat our houses and feed our kids. Thank you, Greg.
All right, Lynn, look after yourself. Thank you very much indeed. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and the text number there. A caller says, sad to hear certain members of the clergy denouncing the protesters. Thought the days of priests voicing their opinions on politics were long gone. Surely the church should sort out its own house before condemning others. I didn't hear any of those criticisms. Not to say it didn't happen. I'm just saying I didn't hear. Right. Minister of State at the Department of Further and Higher Education, Marion Harkin, joins us on the line now. Marion, again, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Greg, and good morning to you and your listeners.
Good morning. We've been inundated by calls today and texts, hundreds, literally hundreds upon hundreds, Marion, of regular people who feel that the government could have gone further. They didn't go far enough. As a member of that government, what's your view?
Well, look, I know people are under real pressure, and I know every time somebody passes a petrol station, they're looking to see what the prices are. I know every time they're thinking in the evening, do I need to turn on the central heating? Have I enough to keep me going until the summer? And people are not just worried about the price of fuel, about the price of food, all of that. And that's as a consequence of the war in the Middle East and the huge uncertainty around that. But look, the question here today, and I recognise it very much, is was the response sufficient? And look, Greg, nothing is ever enough to sort it for everybody. But this package is €750 million in total. And it's important to say that per head of population, it's the highest in Europe. I remember before Easter, the opposition were telling us about Spain and about Poland, and people say we're not listening. But we are, and we listen to the opposition as well. And the package that we have put in place is better per head of population, about 12% better than Spain, 16% better than Poland. Mm. I did those figures myself.
I know that, but we could also compare reliance on home heating oil. We could also compare access to public transport. We could then start comparing road tax, and we could start comparing insurance. I mean, for it to be fair, that's what we would need to do. But we are where we are here in the Northwest, yes. and across the West and the country. 800,000 of us rely on home heating oil. Many of us carers have to use their own cars to get to and from work. You know, comparing us to Poland or Spain, it doesn't really mean anything, if you understand where I'm coming from.
To be fair, reason I mentioned Spain and Poland is because that's what the opposition kept telling us.
Right, okay.
Need to react like they have, and we've done better.
Yeah,
and it's only in that context.
Yeah, no,
and
to be honest with you, we've got quite a few people texting in who don't believe the opposition's proposals even go far enough. So I'm talking to you really as on behalf of the people. So why don't we do more? We have the latitude to do more. You know, we had very strong tax returns last year, 13-odd billion surplus. You know, we could do more. Why don't we do more? Why did we not do anything for all of those people who use home heating oil, Minister?
Look, we have done a great deal. And this sounds like it's as if it's my money. This is the people's
of
money.
Course, yeah.
This money is there to support. You talked about carers. It's there to support services, carers. It's there to support services and education and to build roads and to do all of the things that need to be done. And I suppose the job of any government is to see what money there is in the kitty and how to distribute that to the different sectors, to the people who need support. And 3 weeks ago, Greg, we'd have been having a different conversation. Of course, yeah. We'd have been talking about education and the need for special classes and the fact that, for example, 100 million extra went into education to try and deliver those for September. So the job of government is to try and balance that out. And I'm not saying the response has been perfect, of course not. But the fact that we have money, that we can do it without putting our economy in any kind of jeopardy is saying something.
Yeah, but that's not strictly true. That's not strictly true because we heard from Micheál Martin that the actions they announced at the weekend will have a detrimental impact on the headroom they have come October for Budget 27. So to say that...
It will... Because if you don't take tax from, for example, fuel is highly taxed in Ireland. Mm-hmm. It's one of the ways that the government get taxed. So if that's reduced, then that tax has to come somewhere else, or else some services have to be reduced.
I just can't. I get
that's
you, but
what he's saying.
Yeah, but when we have billions in corporation tax that we hadn't even budgeted for in 2025, I struggle then to understand how spending 505 million at the weekend would have such an impact on in October 27th.
The total, Greg, is €750 million.
Yeah, with the both packages
in
together.
Overall,
yeah, I get
for it. Yeah, with the two packages together. And look, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. And any government has to have a regular room. And look, wouldn't I love to be on your programme this morning and that everybody would be happy with the price of fuel? It'd be the nicest thing in the world. But government has to manage. It has to look at education. It has to look at health. It has to look at all of the other issues that are out there,
you know,
that need to be managed.
With respect,
and Greg,
you talked about
of the organisations, yeah, whether it's MOCRA or the Road Hauliers, have welcomed this. So this is not a universal no.
No, I know that, but I'm not sitting here reflecting the views of big business. It is regular people. And they're regular people too, don't get me wrong. I should
have
chose my...
Are you suggesting that MOCRA doesn't represent regular people or that the Road Hauliers
don't? I would suggest the Road Hauliers Association, if they have welcomed this package, don't represent the majority of people contacting this show. But you've talked about...
That is true.
Yeah, you've talked
MOCRA
about...
But MOCRA represents people and the 14 organisations who negotiated with government last week. Okay. If you tell me, I think there was 5 different farming organisations. Mm. If you tell me that they don't represent the majority of farmers, well then, I don't know where we're...
Well, yeah, indeed, it would be interesting. One final point. You've said to me a couple of occasions about we'd be having different conversations. If you weren't a member of government, me and you now would be having a very different conversation. I don't think, respectfully, that you'd be on defending this package.
To be honest with you, if you go back to some of my votes, for example, when I was in opposition, I was one of the very few people in opposition, might have been only one or two of us, who actually voted for the funds last term that the government put in place the funds that are there so that if there is a problem, that we have that funding there. Mm. I was one of the few people who voted for that because I recognise that when you have money, you have to put some of it aside because you don't know what's going to happen the next day or the day after.
Right,
so you can't accuse me of not looking at the overall position, looking at the good of the country. And I'm not saying everything I say is right, but I am saying I voted for some of those funds that are now in place that people... that can be used to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look and see, you know, what are we going to do about carers allowance this year? What are we going to do about special classes?
I would worry about how many carers we can how many cars we might lose because they're spending an extra 50, 60 euro a week on petrol. But anyway, any of my questions were not meant...
And so do I about it, Greg. Okay. But we have to look at the overall picture. Mm-hmm. And I think €750 million, whilst a million miles from perfect, is a good package, certainly compared to what's elsewhere. And it is better than what the opposition called for.
Right, and any of my questions are not meant with any malice, and I'm sure you didn't take any. Thank you very much indeed. That's Minister Marion Harkin. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher, obviously, thank you very much for your time, by the way, Pat. Obviously, you know, you have a role to represent what you're hearing on the ground to the government. That's what you're going down there to do, and you're down there to do today, I understand.
Well, I arrived into my Dublin office at 9:45, having left Donegal Airport at 8:00, uninhibited. Very fortunate to get through the airport and right into the bottom of Kildare Street. So I'm here, and I'm here to deliver very clear messages today. And I would have preferred if this was on Friday or Saturday. Delivering messages after the event is not good enough. It should have been prior to it. And we should have had a parliamentary party, even on Zoom, virtually, on Friday of last week, so we could deliver these messages. Now, I'm not satisfied with the way all of this was handled. I believe that those who didn't have representation, that a lot of those are very genuine people. They had nobody to represent them. And I listened to a national program on Saturday morning when the ICMSA president and the IFA president, they were agreeable to take a few of these people in with us. And I think that might have got over the impasse. But anyway, we are where we are today. And the package, while in macro terms, it sounds very good, 250 plus 500, but it's not dealing with all of these. And let me say to you, immediately I heard that the talks in the Pakistan between Iran and the United States had broken down. I said immediately, this will result in an increase. And it has resulted. As of now, the 10 cents that we have secured by way of support from the government, there's 9 cents of that eroded immediately. That's what's happening internationally, and that's what happened after the 250 requiring this. I was available all last week, and I made it clear that I was anxious to work the back channels and was prepared to speak to anybody. I did this when I was in the Department of Health, while there were issues with the pharmacists. I was quietly and back channeling with those people who couldn't meet the minister at the time, but I did, and we made progress. So I do believe that today this meeting is important. It's important to highlight what's required in the next package, and I believe that the next package is required sooner rather than later.
How far should they go? And well, before I get to that, I mean, obviously there's a vote of no confidence. It's a bit of theatrics, you could say, when the government's numbers are so strong. But you will vote, I'm sure, in favour of the government. How does that make you feel? Because you are clearly, from what you've said, acutely aware of what's going on. You believe more should be done, but you're going to be asked to vote, albeit your own party, for the very people who are responsible for the package that you've been somewhat critical of. So how do you square that circle, Pat?
Well, that question is a question that's been asked down through the years and by various people like yourself, Greg. Mm. And my answer to that was, when I was asked, not in your programme or in Highland, I was asked that a few weeks ago when we had issues with the flights into Carrickfinn.
That's right.
Would I not follow the lead of another Donegal TD and resign from the party? I said that I wouldn't do that because I felt that being inside negotiating, I was much stronger than to be a hero for the day. And was I not proven right as a result of the negotiations that I was part of? Not totally responsible, but partially responsible. We succeeded. And I believe that I'm much better, rather than announce today that I wasn't voting, be expelled from the party, which is the normal, and that's the same in every party. I will be going to the meeting. I'll be expressing the strong held views that I have, and those are the views of many, many people throughout Donegal, and they've elected me to do that. But if I were to be a hero for the day, take the headlines locally and nationally, I would not be doing the constituents of Donegal any favours.
And just finally, this crisis has brought to the public attention, although some would already know, some anomalies in the system here that leave a very unfair playing field, I think, and I think you're aware of it too. Those operating coaches, we've heard from McGettigan's, there are others that run, you know, are subcontracted by Bus Éireann, etc. They can't claim VAT back whilst they see other people in business, in the transport industry, able to do so. Is now a time maybe to to, do you believe, you know, correct some of those what would seem anomalies?
Well, they're definitely anomalies, and it's not a fair playing surface that those in the other sector, whereas haulage, they cannot claim it. Whereas it's important to note that those who are competing, the coach owners who are competing with coach owners in Northern Ireland, the Northern Ireland coach owners can claim back the VAT, so our people can't. And I believe it's time to look at that as well. And speaking of Northern Ireland, Greg, it's just come to my attention in the last 20 minutes that the distributors in Derry, LCC, they have just advised some of those that they're distributing to that they're going to charge an extra 5 or around 5.5 cents a litre by way of surcharge. I mean, that's taking advantage of this situation. So the additional 20% or 20 cents back 4 weeks ago and the 10 cents is going to be eroded, and the prices are going to be back up to where they were again as a result of the affairs in the Middle East.
Okay, listen, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time. That's Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher there. Rightio, so many of you messaging in. I really do appreciate you taking the effort. Niall Blaney, the amount of paperwork involved in claiming any relief is as bad as the board beer conditions, and that hasn't been dealt with by the government, treating citizens, says the listener, with contempt. Negotiations yesterday would have been better if fuel was capped. A drop in 10 cents a litre means nothing to people. Fuel stations will now be will not be dropping the fuel prices straight away, as they will say that they had fuel left over in their tanks. Cement is 1.35 a litre. 135 euro, I think they're saying. No, it's not. That works out, though, at 1,080 euro for one load of concrete, 135 a litre. A few years ago, concrete was priced at 65 per litre. The government also has a 5% levy on fuel. Nothing for ordinary people, i.e. heating oil. This government are a failure and must go. Kerosene, that's the same fuel airplanes use. Another, now stop the nonsense about something else going on below the surface. All that had to be done was to treat the protesters with respect by meeting and listening initially, and the protests will have ceased, but the government came down with a heavy hammer, effectively. Is Greg just going to let the senator waffle on, cut the taxes? This is a rainy day. The senator is mansplaining to beat the band. Listeners, look, firstly, I challenged Niall Blaney on a number of things, but we are the voice of the government is important in this as well, in terms of balance and what have you. And whether you agree with Niall Blaney or not, you don't need me to challenge everything he says on that matter or anything. You're clever enough to understand whether what Niall Blaney is saying is you agree with or you disagree with. As I say, I challenged Mr. Blaney on a number of things, but you don't get anywhere by silencing people, and we'll never do that. The protests need to continue, but we all need to stand together. School buses need to stop. Teachers stop teaching. Everybody has to down tools. The government is a disgrace. Another says a lot. Say a lot. Lost a lot of respect for the guards, and after being warned not to use pepper spray until ordered to do so, and a couple of others kicking and tramping on a man who was pulled from his tractor. Will there be anything done about it? C1 has been named anyway. The fuel crisis now is just the straw that broke the camel's back, says the listener. Irish people have been squeezed to the last penny. We pay USC, that was supposed to be an emergency taxation. We're taxed on our income and everything we buy. Our roads, health service and public transport is not up to standard in comparison to the money the government are taking from the working people. How much of a rainy day does it have to be before the government dip into their rainy day fund? People in this country are just working to survive, not working to actually live and be able to enjoy their lives. Another here, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are so out of touch with the people. Pearce and his party has that connection with the people. Micheál Martin and Simon Harris doesn't have, in my opinion. Hi, Greg. Ain't the leader, Padraig Tobin, clarified that the government take 120 from every 220 spent on fuel? That's the 65%, yep. That is tax rate. Now, that was before some of that was at the beginning, before any of the reductions in taxation. It's not quite as high now. But going on, that is a tax rate of 120, which is egregious, applied to citizens who cannot get away from utilising this fuel. It's not the percentages there. I understand what you've done, but that's not quite the way it is. It's just more than half. but it does increase, obviously, the price extensively. Hi, Greg. Another thing that the government did that infuriated the public was the shtick it used regarding the protests causing cancer patients to miss appointments. Aside from the fact that the protests left the hard shoulder free on the motorway, meaning traffic could in fact pass, this is the same government that cancelled all cancer screening and testing, as well as surgical treatments for approximately 18 months during the COVID lockdown. No consideration was given to cancer patients then. Utterly disingenuous from Micheál Martin and his cohorts. The public will not forget when it comes to election time, I suspect. Well, I suspect people will broadly end up voting 2020 plus independence, etc. Listening intently to your conversation with Pierce, why have a no confidence vote when you know you don't have the numbers to defeat? It makes no sense to me. The only thing left is to head to the Dáil, the whole country, that is. Well, what it does is, firstly, it allows a debate on the issue and a lot of talking points and headlines can be made. But also, it puts pressure on backbenchers. It puts pressure, arguably, on Pat the Cope Gallagher or Marian Harkin, because they are, as you heard, understanding of the situation, but at the same time are willing to support the government. So really, it puts quite a bit of pressure on those that support the government, even if they're members of government in their own backyard. So there's an element of that as well. Okay, we will take a break. We are going to take a break, actually, even from that topic, because we're going to have a chat and listen to a little bit of music with a very popular local artist after these. I'm joined in studio now by Amy Meehan. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Greg. How's things?
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank
and congratulations,
you for
having me. By the way.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to see the growth and progress in your career, because anyone listening to Highland Radio would have been aware of you since you were a dot.
Yeah, this is where it all started. It's crazy to think back.
Mike and the Mechanics, a band, you know, lots and lots of people are very familiar with. Their lead singer, Paul Carrick.
Yeah.
You're going to be touring with him?
Yes.
He's not just their singer either, actually. He's multi-talented, isn't
he? Yeah, no, he's fantastic. So I'm going tomorrow. I'm heading off, sailing over to the UK. And they contacted me to do the full UK tour, which was completely unexpected, Greg, to be honest. And I was just so happy to get the chance again to go over. So it's 13 shows across the UK, big stages, ending up in the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane. So back in the Liverpool Philharmonic again. So I was with them before when I was 17.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I can't recall, what age are you now?
23.
Right. So how then have you re-established connection this 6 years later? It's remarkable, isn't it?
I didn't.
No, the connection.
It's crazy. This is the thing. Because I'll tell the story. The funny thing is, we were in the house and my dad and I were talking and he said, "Did you see Paul Carrick's going back on tour again?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Wouldn't that be great if you could get that?" And what happened late that night, midnight rolls around, I get an email from Paul's manager and I thought it was dad playing a joke on me. I thought he had set up a fake email address, no joke. But no, it was amazing.
That's so brilliant.
He came back asking for me after 5 years, which is an amazing compliment, really.
Yeah, of course. And listen, I mean, you've rubbed shoulders with some big acts in the past and that is fine, don't get me wrong, but it's the audience it opens up for you that's huge here, right? You know, because that's you can't put a price on that.
No, genuinely you can't, because when I was 17 I met people on the previous UK tour and we have kept in contact, like myself and the people I met that were in the audience, and they're all very excited to see me again and I'm excited to get talking to them again, and it's really making not a fan base but kind of people that like your music.
Well, I think it is a fan base.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
And they tell their mates, right? And then next thing you know, you start seeing the streams go up and
this is it.
It's organic growth, you know.
Exactly.
And I think once you're in front of an audience, you have the music, the stage presence to build on that. So it's fantastic to be put in front of people, I think, too. And it's a great honour as well, of course.
Yeah, and his audience is a fantastic audience, too. Like, they're there for the music.
For sure.
They're big music people, and they're my kind of music people, too.
So what kind of a set would you be doing?
Do you know what? I was actually working on that last night. I'm changing my setup every single night.
Okay.
Because there's people coming actually from America even to see multiple shows of Paul's.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm changing a few songs every night. So it's a mix of my own original material and then a few covers as well that mean a lot to me.
And is that at your discretion?
Yeah.
Do you get to formulate that? So this is your mini gig before his gig, effectively.
Exactly, exactly. So I have the complete control over kind of what I get to play before the gig. So it gives them a taster of my music And then it also gives me a chance to share some of the music that's been special in my life as well.
So when did you get the shouts? How long ago did you find out?
It was
out?
A good few months ago now, Greg. It was maybe about 4 months ago.
Okay. And were you already working on your latest album?
No.
Right, okay. Nuh-uh. So did you fast track it so you had
big
you
time.
Could employ this platform? Yeah.
Yeah, so since the last time we've been talking, Greg, I did my degree in Ulster University in music, finished up that. And then I was going on to do a master's. It got cut short because there weren't enough people to do the course. So basically, I had to come up with what am I going to do for this year?
Yeah.
Because there wasn't enough time for me to apply it anywhere else. So I started up my own wee music business, teaching music, going around different local primary schools, teaching guitar, weddings. And I love doing that. But that had kind of taken over my full life. I don't think I played any of my own music.
Yeah, it's very hard to balance
for a year.
I
get this email from Paul, and this is my opportunity now to really get back into the swing of things again and doing my own music.
The timing's fantastic,
isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. When is the album actually out?
So the album is out when I get back from the tour.
Okay.
So I'm thinking late June, but my first single from the album came out just on Friday, so it's out now. It's called Big Quiet House. And my second single is coming out on Friday, the 24th of April.
Now, what are you going to sing for us?
Big Quiet House.
Now, this is fantastic because we're going to get an in-person live 7 minutes to 11 version of this too. And hopefully it's a big signpost for people to go and hear the full studio version as well. Yeah. And the rest of the... And it is... Where's your biggest platform? Is it Spotify or...
Do you know what? For people to hear my music, this song is on Spotify. Mm-hmm. That's the best place for you to hear the song. But to keep up to date with the tour, follow me on Facebook, my music page, Amy Meehan Music, and on Instagram, Amy M. Meehan, and I'll be taking yous with me on the tour.
Yeah,
like
brilliant.
You'll be seeing backstage and
fantastic
everything.
Fantastic stuff. Listen, it's brilliant to see. It's brilliant to see you doing so well. It's a huge compliment to obviously have made such an impression as a 17-year-old to get the invite to tour. To tour Britain again and iconic venues as well too. You know, you named a couple of venues and instantly everybody knows where they are. These are some of the best venues that are on these islands. Okay, so here is Amy Meehan before she hot foots it to a boat like it's 1972 and heads on tour. Right, this is her new song, Big White House.
House with an empty room, rose all wilted away. I still feel like I did back then, still hanging on to someday. But do you miss me? Are you lonely? Did you want me to be something more? Are you sick of remembering? Do you want me back at your door? Do you want me? In the mirror song on the walls that watched me grow up, the dogs all old and the plants as dead as the hope I had for it all. But do you miss me? Are you lonely? Something more. And are you sick of remembering? Do you Are you lonely? Did you want me to be something more? And are you sick of remembering? Do you want me back at your door? Do you want me?
Lovely, Amy. That's excellent. Thanks so very much indeed. Good luck with the tour. And if you want to go on tour with Amy Meehan and Paul Carrick, effectively, really, yeah, go into her social medias on Facebook. It's Amy Meehan Music. Amy M. Meehan?
On Instagram,
on
yes.
Congratulations. Well done and enjoy it.
Thanks.
We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.